Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. This is Fat Free with your host, Braxton Cosby. That is me, physical therapist, entrepreneur, certified personal trainer, certified weight trainer, certified nutritionist. All of that's good, but at the end of the day, what I want to be for you is your voice. I want to be that inner voice that speaks to you, that speaks happiness into you, that encourages you, and that inspires you to go out, dream, and do something great. This is our third podcast of the year, so I'm so excited you guys have decided to come back and listen to me blabber a little bit. Today, I will be doing this more of a health focus podcast, and I want to be sharing with you some tips to start off the new year. Hopefully you've already gotten in stride. You just have Valentine's Day. You guys got over that. Hopefully you were able to spend a little special time with that special someone and have a good time doing that. And hopefully you were fit and ready for Valentine's Day activities. But if you weren't, not a problem. That's why you came here. I'm going to go ahead and give you some tips and some things that I think are going to help you help to carry you through the 2015 year and hopefully put you on the right track if you have not been on the right track so far. So as far as health and wellness goes, I'm just going to throw a couple of questions out to you guys before we kind of dive into this. Question one, have you actually sat down and gone over your fitness goals for the year? You know, it's a key component to doing anything is to actually take your dreams and make them valid, to put them into the world. You want to paste them up on a wall somewhere. You want to set your goals high, but you also want to set benchmarks, some small goals that you can kind of chip away at. If your goal is to lose 100 pounds, obviously you don't want to do that in a week or a month or a couple of months. I know a lot of you guys be hoping that that's something that you want to do, but you know, definitely you don't want to make something so insurmountable that you get discouraged when you don't meet it. So you may want to gradually get into it. Maybe you start off with a pound a week, and then as you're successful after 1 month, you may want to bump that up to 2 pounds a week, and so on and so forth. So, you know, the Bible says to put your goals on, put the vision on tablets, make it plain. I suggest people go ahead and write down or type out their goals and then put them somewhere. My goals for 2015 are sitting right in front of me, right over my computer, up on the wall, and I see them every day. My 5 goals for 2015. I have made them plain, and slowly but surely God is blessing me to get all of them taken care of. So I'm walking in faith in that, and I want you to do the same. So take those goals, put them out in front of you, and make sure you can see them every day, and just continue to repeat to yourself, I can accomplish these goals. I can break through. I can overcome these barriers that are slowing me down. And I'm going to do it under what? Under focus, under control, and I'm going to make sure it's realistic so that I can continue to climb the ladder. And hopefully, the testimony that you'll have at the end of it all is something you'll be able to share with other people. So, today I'm going to be sharing to you some of the something that's very, very important. I think people skip over when they talk about working out, is everybody gets into cardio. Everybody wants to do, you know, a lot of the great fitness trends that are out there, and surely and certainly those things are great. Zumba and a lot of the guys who are on TV with the great videos, all of that is fantastic. But I'm telling you, I can bona fide swear by it today, that if you incorporate a good amount of strength training into your program, you are going to make huge strides. I mean, leaps and bounds, everybody, in achieving your fitness goals. I know in the beginning of the year, I went on a sugar fast for 21 days where I tried to eliminate any sugar that I knew I was putting in my body. And I say that I know because a lot of our foods have sugars and preservatives on them that you might not be able to, that are not listed or that you're not unaware of. But I basically cut out sugar as far as eating cakes and cookies and you know, any kind of candy. And also the drinks that I had were calorie-free drinks, if anything. And I also drank a lot of water. So my sweet tea was gone. For all those who don't know, I'm down here in Georgia. Originally from Miami, I became a sweet tea addict when I moved up here. Nothing like a tall glass of cold iced tea. Northerners and people from Miami do not sleep on it. Don't think I'm crazy. Sweet tea is awesome. If I'm going out of here, it will probably be something that has been attributed to me drinking sweet tea. But I say that to say I did cut that out for 21 days and just eliminating the sugar alone, not changing anything on my workouts, I was able to shave off 7 pounds. People look at me and say, where did you get the 7 pounds from? I said, I don't know. I hope it was from my stomach. I felt like it was, but at the end of the day, I did shave off 7 pounds. So I know that you really want to watch the sugar intake. There have been some studies that show that the obsession with sugar is actually greater than the desire to, or the obsession with cocaine. And I think that they're dead on with that. You look at your kids today, how obsessed they are with kids. I know I look at my three, man, and if the sugar comes out, they are all over it. They are ready to jump on it and pounce, and you give them a regular meal, they gotta do a lot of work to eat the meat and digest it. They're not so crazy, but I know they are obsessed with sugar, so I don't think that just because we become adults that we lose that. I think that is something that still stays in us. So please be careful of sugar. But you guys want to hear about strength training. I'm going to go ahead and get into that right now. First, I want to go over some benefits that are associated with resistive training, strength training. For one, I know with me, it allows me to cheat the system. I don't really do a lot of cardio, but I do a lot of resistive training. And what that does is that, you know, put it this way, folks, your body has to do a lot of work to build muscle. And it has to do, I believe, even twice the amount of work to maintain that muscle, which means that that's a lot of energy expenditure for the body. The body has to continually break down small muscle fibers, build them back up. And the amount of energy that it takes to just sustain that muscle, those proteins, those fibers, that elastin, all of that stuff, takes a lot of energy. It's just not going to just sit there on its own. And the minute you stop working out, your body will readily break that down because it takes up a lot of energy. So what does that do? You say, okay, well, I'm burning a lot of energy. What is that? Well, that's actually your metabolic rate. Your metabolic rate has to now increase, which if you are listening and you hear that word metabolic, we're talking about metabolism. Your metabolism will start to rise. Your baseline metabolism will then be increased, and that's going to allow you to burn burn fat and be a lot more efficient in the way you handle energy sources that are put into your body, which means you will not readily store fat as you would if you had a low metabolism, and you'd actually burn it. Now, I'm talking about the good fats, you know, the avocados and things like that that you put in your body that the body will readily use for energy, because fat, folks, is just stored up energy. And if you put the right fats in your body that are broken down a lot faster and don't have to go through multiple cycles to break down and then get lost in the body and stored away once you get into a state of rest, you really have a great chance at utilizing that fat as a good energy source to continue to build and to maintain the muscle that you put on with resistive training. So I know for me, my metabolism stays very, very high. You know, I can go to bed weighing, I'll go ahead and let you get in my business, maybe 221 at night, I'm 6'4", and in the morning I may be 218 easily. Especially if I had a good workout that day and I put some protein in my system right before I go to sleep, I can easily burn that off during the night because the body uses a different energy system rather than the one that it uses, because to make energy or to break down energy is time dependent. So a sprinter uses a quick energy system. called the creatine phosphate system. It needs energy readily, so boom, it taps into that. It allows that sprinter to explode and run a race very efficiently before it starts to break down. Lactic acid slows the body down, as opposed to when you're sleeping, use another system called beta oxidation. Basically takes the fat, the carbon molecule chain that is attached to that in the second position, takes that, sends that through a system in the body, which is the Krebs cycle, allows it to produce so much energy. And the only thing that runs that system, folks, is what? Your metabolism is, and that is dictated by all that muscle that you've hopefully put on in resistive training. If you're not working out, you're not doing resistive training, your body has no reason at all to utilize that beta oxidation system. So I'm telling you, if you want to make this as simple as you can, you want to create a very strong frame, which is skeletal muscle, on that that is layered on top of bone. And once you make that frame very strong, the body has workers. That's where all your enzymes and carriers come into play, breaking down, building up, and they've got to maintain that building, that structural framework that you have established through strength training. Those guys have to do a lot of work, and they will use the energy systems of the body that are readily available, especially when you sleep at night. And that fat is just sitting there, and the body will utilize it. It knows where it stored it, it knows where to use it. So I'm telling you, definitely want to get into strength training if you have not incorporated that into your workout. At least half as much as you're doing cardio, you need to be doing as much strength training. Now, so let's get back to some of the health benefits associated with resistive training. For one, like I said, there's fat loss. You're going to be able to control your weight and maintain your weight a lot better. Your focus should be dropping fat and gaining muscle. Losing scale weight sometimes is the wrong goal, because you get on a scale, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing all this work, and I'm not losing any weight. Well, you may be actually putting on more muscle. And if you really, really have a hard exercise, a bout of exercise with strength training, you break down so many fibers that you actually get swollen, and you're retaining fluid now, and the body's trying to work. So you could possibly be looking like you're gaining more weight, but you're actually doing a lot more work. So don't stick to the scale too much. Use it as a nice baseline of where you are, maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks maybe. But feel good. Know that you're putting in the work. Know that you are going to be sore. Know that you've actually worked hard, and I guarantee you have results. You're going to increase your calorie burn. Any activity, including strength training, is going to burn calories during the activities that will contribute to your fitness. So thicker muscle, bigger muscle, more energy expended, more calories burned, because those calories are actually going to be the energy source that the body's going to use while you're exercising. You actually can have some resistance in reducing your blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure or borderline high blood pressure, generally it's acceptable to use moderate loads of anywhere between 15 to 20 repetitions. That's going to allow that skeletal muscle to relax more efficiently. You're going to pump blood through those arteries a lot faster, which is going to help to clear out some of the gunk, that is what I call the sludge from cholesterol, from, you know, bad eating. And it's going to hopefully lower your blood pressure. Anytime you can diet or decrease your alcohol and salt intake, that's going to help as well. So the funny thing is, the more you exercise, and the probably less you're doing, or you have less time to contribute to bad habits such as, you know, eating. You know, if you're working out, you might not be that hungry, so you're probably not going to be sitting around gobbling down a lot of salt and sugar and things like that. So you're kind of transitioning your time or your use of time from bad habits to good habits. Also, you're going to increase your calorie burn after exercise. If you do vigorous strength training, you can significantly elevate your calorie burn, your metabolic rate. We spoke about that earlier, anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes longer after you've actually finished. So you can be in this nice steady burn up to an hour long of burning calories even after you've stopped. So I think that's fantastic. How about decreasing your risk of diabetes? You know, if you guys have followed my podcast or my blog, you know, I talk a lot about weight and the diseases of excess weight, obesity, the scary trends that are happening now in the world with that. And diabetes is one of the largest factors that come along with being obese. Ultimately, what diabetes is, it results from an inability to control your blood sugar levels. The insulin that is normally secreted from your pancreas, which will control your blood sugar levels, is insufficient. And muscle tissue is now programmed to respond to insulin. And as ordered by this hormone, it's supposed to take the sugar out of your blood and into the muscle. But as people get fatter or put on more fat, they become older or inactive. The muscle tissue they have left just doesn't obey insulin the way it should. And the solution to all of this is, hey, let's not let or allow that muscle to forget what it's supposed to do. We're going to lift weight. That's going to build muscle, and it's going to also help lose fat because we talked about the calorie burn and the metabolic rate increase. A resistor training is also going to increase your muscle mass, which is going to increase your insulin action or decrease the resistance of insulin. And if you mix this with both cardiovascular training, the metabolic benefits can be gained exponentially along with the resistor training. So a nice switch, a nice combination of those definitely goes a long way. Last thing, how about some personal physical independence? Man, don't you feel good when you can go up a flight of stairs and not gasping for wind? When you can climb those stairs and your knees don't feel like they're about to snap in half? Or maybe you could even go running after your son or daughter, or take your dog to the park and throw the frisbee and chase after him a little bit. Get that physical independence back. You should not be a slave to your body because you have too much weight on. And I'm going to tell you guys, I'm 30. Okay? And I feel fantastic when I go to stand. I'm limber. And I know it's my resistor training. My resistor training is what makes me still feel young, because I feel like the congruency of my joints is there. I feel like my body is strong. I don't feel like I'm dependent on anything other than myself and God, of course, to just stand up and get moving. And I know I attribute that to my strength training program and my regimen. So, and one thing you cannot have enough of is self-esteem. When you look in the mirror and you see your body and you see the results or the fruits of your labor, that is where you're really happy, and that comes with resistor training. Well, guys, my time is done. We've talked about the benefits of resistor training, and hopefully you got what you could out of this podcast. Enjoy. This has been a Cosby Media Productions production. Executive producer Braxton A. Cosby, 2015, all rights reserved. Any reproduction or redistribution of this podcast without the written consent of Braxton A. Cosby is prohibited.